Everyone has advice. Everyone needs advice. At some time or another, each and every one of us has felt the need to go and talk to somebody about something that we're having to deal with that we're not sure we know how to deal with it. It might be taxes, it might be laws, it might be building a house, it might be getting along with our wife, it might be taking care of our children, it might be how to get along with my neighbor better. There's just all sorts of areas in our life that some of us, well, none of us, are experts in. And we need to talk to somebody. We need to find somebody that we can go and we can converse with, and they will hear what we have to say, and they will answer accordingly in a manner that will help us. And when we need tax advice, we know who to go to. When we need advice in regards to building a house, we know who to go to. Raising children, we can find somebody to talk to. But there is one individual that oftentimes we don't consider. And Scripture tells us that He is the wise counsel. We're going to talk about Jesus as a counselor this morning. Now that word counselor is used in many and several varied ways. They all kind of relate to one another. We know that it's used in the sense of getting drug counseling or getting mental counseling and those sort of things. We get physical counseling from physicians and nurses and doctors. We use it in the way of advice. An advisor is another term for one who is a counselor. We use counselor in the term of a lawyer oftentimes. If you've ever watched a Perry Mason episode, you know he's referenced as counselor. Most often when we think of counselor, though, we think of someone who is advising us in some mental way. Therapy is one of the areas where we have this term, this idea of receiving counseling. We have grief counselors. And I think it is in these sort of areas that we sometimes forget about Jesus. I'm not saying that Jesus is the best individual to go to for our tax advice, but He does give us instruction regarding that, so don't disregard His advice there. But mostly what we're talking about this morning is when we have struggles in our life, when we have difficulties, we have things that we can't work through in our own mind regarding how a particular relationship is going, or regarding our health and well-being mentally in particular, we need to remember that Jesus is there. And Scripture tells us that counseling is something that is useful and helpful to us. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, and yes, I know these are in a different order. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Well, stop and think about that for just a moment. The wise man tells us that someone who understands seeks wise counsel. Now, oftentimes we think, well, I understand this. I don't need any counseling. Solomon would tell us different. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations, the psalmist tells us. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. And this verse begins to emphasize the idea that wise counsel, true wise and useful counsel, comes from God. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we have the story of Rehoboam. We all remember Rehoboam from our studies of the history of Israel. Rehoboam received the kingdom from his father Solomon. And many of the people came to him and said, "Please back off. Please relieve us. Don't be as oppressive as your father was." And Rehoboam says, "Well, let me think about it for a few days, and then I'll give you an answer." And he went to the wise men, the men who had advised his father, Solomon, who had been there and done that. Some of them may have even known of the time of David. And he said, "What do I do?" And they said, "If you'll back off, give them a little bit of what they want, relieve their burden, they will follow you anywhere under any circumstances, no matter what. They'll be loyal to you forever." But he didn't like that counsel. So he went and talked to the young guys, the folks that didn't have any more experience than he did. And their advice was, "You tell them, you thought my father was hard? I will multiply. He beat you with ropes, I'll beat you with chains," is kind of the idea that was put forth. And we all know what happened. He accepted their advice. He told the people that. And the people, through the mouth of Jeroboam, said, "We're done." And Jeroboam received 10 tribes. Of course, this was according to the working of God. We recognize that when we read through the Scripture. But the point is, he didn't accept the wise counsel. He turned away from wise counsel. God is wise counsel. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, Isaiah says, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And as we recognize when we were studying through this in our Sunday night class, that's a reference to Jesus. As we read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Wonderful Counselor. Now, I know there's some versions that render that as Wonderful, Counselor. But either way, we get the same point. Jesus is a counselor from God. In fact, we go to Isaiah 28 and 29. "This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made His counsel wonderful and His wisdom great." Counseling is something that we all can use. The Bible approves of and promotes, encourages us to look for counsel, but it encourages us to look for wise counsel. And ultimately, when we're talking about wise counsel, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Word of God. We go back to our text that we read this morning as we began. And we look there into Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. And I began with verse 12 purposefully because it talks about the Word of God and how it cuts to the heart. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There's nothing that is hidden. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And we can tie that word back through the book of John to Jesus very readily, very easily. The Word of God is able to cut to the hearts. The Word of God knows. Jesus knows what you're dealing with. He understands. In fact, that's what the Hebrew writer goes on to say. He says, therefore. Now, this therefore is not just talking about those couple of verses right above, about the Word being able to cut to the heart. It's talking about all the things that is said about Jesus being a superior high priest. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Our high priest is not here on earth. He is in heaven, in the very presence of God. So let's hold fast to our belief and our confession in Him. But He doesn't stop there. We do not have a high priest which cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And somebody said, well, wait a minute. Jesus didn't have Facebook. No. But He had people that gossiped about Him. He had people that made fun of Him. He was betrayed. He was wrongly accused. Doesn't that pretty much fit all those things that we might attribute to some of the online things that we have to deal with? And even some of the relationships that we might have dealt with in the past or still be dealing with to some degree with coworkers, people in school, sometimes even family. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He understands your heart and He understands your mind because He is the Word. And so He can cut to the core. Jesus knows. One of the things when you start some sort of counseling or advising, one of the first things you got to do is tell that person about yourself, what your situation is. You can never explain to a human counselor to the point that they will understand you like Jesus does. Jesus suffered physical pain. Jesus suffered loss. He grieved. He was in physical need. He understood alone. There is nothing that you will experience on this earth that Jesus does not understand. And He came to earth for the purpose of demonstrating that to us, to show us that He knew. And He still knows. Jesus knows. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He left heaven and came down and lived among us, with us, like us. Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 2, he said, you need to have the mind of Christ. You need to be just like Christ was. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be a thing to grasp, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus is not just some heavenly being that's looking down upon us. Jesus lived on earth. Jesus suffered on earth. Jesus walked among men. Was rejected by his family, his people, and died on a cross to pay the price for us. Jesus knows. And it just dawned on me. Jesus knows. Jesus cares. There's a song verse that has that. He cares. That's part of what Paul's telling the Philippian brethren there. You need to care like Jesus did. He cares for us. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, that says the mighty hand of God. Yeah, remember, Jesus is called Eternal Father, too. That's part of Isaiah's prophecy, if you remember. Jesus is God. We've already had that lesson. He cares for you. He cares about the pain that you're suffering. Sometimes when we're dealing with health issues or sorrow, grief, loss, we think, nobody else knows. Nobody else understands. Jesus does. He lost loved ones. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. Jesus understands loved ones, those that He cares for, walking away from God. He sorrowed over Jerusalem and the people of Israel. He cares. When He was dying on the cross, one of the things He said is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He said to His apostles, I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave someone to take care of you, to guide you until you know all you need to know. Jesus cares. He understands your pain. He understands your spiritual suffering. And He cares about your spiritual growth. He cares about your character. And He cares about your emotional welfare. The greatest counselor we will ever have regarding any kind of issue is Jesus. Now, I don't want anybody to walk away from here saying, Dan said, don't go get help. Just go read your Bible. That's not what Dan says. But if you don't seek help with Jesus being in front of it all, your help is not going to benefit you in the long run. It may help you right away, but it's not going to help in the long run. Jesus needs to be at the forefront of all you do. Matthew chapter 6 reminds us of that. It also emphasizes that Jesus cares for us. That God, deity, wants what's best for us because we are valuable. And I want to add an addendum to that. Not we as a group. We as each single individual is valuable. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. But they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? Or you of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek after all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We are valuable in the sight of God. He knows what we need. And I think we can extrapolate from the fact that He knows about our physical needs, that He knows our spiritual needs, certainly, and He knows our emotional needs, our mental needs. He knows what makes us whole and well. And if He will bring forth the flowers in all of their glory and beauty, the flowers that do absolutely nothing for Him, they don't work for anything, what do you think He'll do for those of us that are His children? He values us. And if we will put Him first in all things, then we have what we need. And so when we seek counsel because we're feeling like nobody cares, let's remember, first of all, Jesus cares. And no matter what other counsel we may look for, we may seek after, we want Him to be at the forefront of it. There are a lot of people that will tell us how best to live our lives. I'm always kind of interested when I walk into a bookstore and I see a self-help section. They can tell us how to do all sorts of things, but there's very few of those self-help books that open up, first page, go to God. This one does. This one starts with God, ends with God, and emphasizes God all the way through. He cares for us. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He will not abandon us. He will never leave us. There is nothing that can take us out of His hand. That doesn't mean we can't jump. But as long as we're holding on to God, nothing can take us away from Him. He cares. He knows. And He shows. Jesus reveals. He reveals Himself. I think first and foremost, that's what we need to recognize. He begins by showing us who He is. If we went back to our text there in Hebrews chapter 4, we look at the context surrounding that, and the Hebrew writer is emphasizing to the brethren that he's writing to, you've seen Jesus. He's shown Himself to you. It's evident who He is and what He's all about. And therefore you should understand that He is superior to all others. The Scripture is full of inferences at the very least, and references and direct statements of, here is Jesus. He's the Son of God. And here's what He has done and what He will do for you He reveals Himself to us. He wants a personal relationship with you. Years ago, I was very hesitant because of its abuse and misuse of talking about the idea of my Jesus. I'm still kind of concerned about it sometimes. Or Jesus as my personal Savior. Those of us that have been around for a few years have heard that abused. But you can't read Scripture and learn about the relationship that Jesus wants with each one of us as an individual without seeing that He is my personal Savior. He's also your personal Savior. And you know He tells us that in John chapter 10. In verse 3, to Him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. That is a reference to a personal relationship. Sometimes He calls His own sheep by all three names, because we know what that means, right? When Mom said Daniel Lee, I never wanted her to say Daniel Lee Henderson. I knew that was extreme. Jesus knows us personally. He calls us by name. He wants a personal relationship, an intimate relationship. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own knows me. It's not a one-way relationship. It's not just He knows us, or I know Him. We know each other. I think to some degree that's why we find Jesus described as the bride of the church. Because of the intimacy of that relationship. Or we read about having espoused ourselves. The intimacy of that relationship. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Jesus wants a personal relationship with us. So He reveals Himself to us. He shows us who He is and what He is all about. And there are any number of places that we could go to find verses that remind us of this idea. And I'm not saying this is something that we don't recognize as Christians. Most of us fully understand these things. But look at a few verses. It tells us in Psalm 119 verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." If we go back to John chapter 1, as we made reference to already, Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw Him as the Son of God. Jesus enlightens us, guides us, instructs us through the Word. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 2, "If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there has made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit." Paul, sometimes when I'm talking about Paul's writing, I say he uses a lot of words. And he does. But when we get down to, say, the brass tacks of what Paul is talking about here, Paul says, if you pay attention to what I have said, especially through my writings, you will know Jesus. That's what it boils down to. I was given the responsibility to proclaim the message. And if you will listen to what I proclaim, you will know the Christ. You will understand who He is, what He's done, who He has done it for, and what the end result will be of following Him. And I'm convinced that we can take the message of the Apostle Paul in the latter part of the book of Acts and read through all the letters that he wrote to the various churches and read through the epistles that he wrote to the various individuals that he wrote to, and we can learn pretty much everything we need to know about being children of God. How to become one, how to remain one, how to grow in that relationship. Because as Paul told the Ephesian brethren, if you read, you can understand what I have through revelation. Nothing's hidden. The Word. Jesus reveals Himself in the Word. Now, that Word came to us by the Spirit. Jesus told His apostles in John chapter 16, verse 13, not to mention where He talked in John 14 and John 15 about the same thing. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. And then when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, giving him his last words of encouragement, he said, Timothy, here's something that you need to make sure you keep in mind. All Scripture is inspired by God. Now, I want to stop for just a minute there. We're going to read the whole verse in just a moment. But I want to stop for just a minute. That word inspired, it's translated as God-breathed elsewhere. And you know, the word that is translated inspired and breathed there is the same word that is translated Spirit elsewhere. All Scripture comes from through the Spirit of God. All Scripture is inspired by God. God breathed. And it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, or perfect and complete. The Word of God was delivered to us by the Spirit through the inspired writers so that we would have everything that we needed in order to know Jesus and to follow Him. Peter tells us that Scripture prophecy was not by the minds of men, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Jesus also reveals Himself in the church, through the church. Now, let's start by making sure we remember the church is the individuals who belong to God. It's not the building. There's a sense in which it's the group, but ultimately it boils down to it is each individual who belongs to the Lord. That's the church. That's the assembly. The ecclesia, those who are called out. And Christ reveals Himself through us. Brethren, join in following my example, Paul told the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 3. And observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, and who set their mind on earthly things. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Follow me as I follow Christ. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, Philippian brethren, you need to be showing Christ. We need to be imitating, demonstrating, revealing Christ to one another and to the world. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Our leaders, Peter tells us that the shepherds of the Lord's church are to follow the great shepherd, are to imitate him, in particular in dealing with suffering, as he did in regards to the cross. But in their leadership, they are to be like Christ, the good shepherd. And if they do that, they will be rewarded for that leadership. But that also tells us, I think anyway, that Jesus counsels us through the church, through our brethren. He counsels us with the Word, which was delivered by the Spirit. He reveals Himself through our brethren, through their actions, through the things they say, the things they do, as they imitate Him. And when we look at that, our brethren provide us counsel from Christ. Those who are serving Christ. Now, as Paul warned the Philippian brethren, if you're following after somebody that's seeking after the things of the world, you're not going to get Jesus' advice. You're going to get world advice. John tells us we ought to have nothing to do with those. When we receive advice from one of our brethren, one of our sisters, we need to examine it in the light of God's Word. Is this in line with what Jesus would have me to do? Then I need to take it and I need to use it. Paul told the Galatian brethren that those who are spiritual need to restore the one who had gone away from the faith. The spirit of humbleness, watching for yourself, but restore them. Maybe it would be good for me to seek out advice from my brethren as well when I'm troubled, when I'm grieving, when things just aren't going like they're supposed to, and I just don't know what to do. Maybe I look to one of my brothers or sisters in Christ that I respect for their desire to follow the Lord. And ask them. Find you a Christian who is wise, who's living a life that honors God. And ask them what they think about your situation. Ask two or three. Ask multiple. Seek out wise counsel from God. Now, ultimately, we're going to take whatever we get from anybody and go back to the Word of God and see how it compares. But if our brethren are imitating Christ and are revealing Christ to us, can we not count on them to give us Christ-like advice? I know we can. I can tell you from experience that you can. Because when tragedy strikes, and brethren who have endured that tragedy themselves find out, they will advise you regarding it. They will be there to help you through it as they imitate Christ. I know brethren who have traveled across the country to be with someone who found out they had a cancer diagnosis that didn't look good at all. Come to find out they'd had to experience that with somebody they knew in their family years before. A number of brethren that I have known as far back as I can remember almost, when our daughter passed away in her car wreck, they were down there in Texas just a few days later. And I found out then they'd had an almost exact experience themselves. And their counsel is wise as they follow Christ. It's helpful to us. Now, once again, nowhere in this lesson is the idea that we don't take advantage of what's offered to us, even in the physical world, as it might help us with some of these things. There are specifics of medicines and processes and such that are available to us that we will not find in the pages of Scripture. But when we do get that advice, we need to look and see if it matches with the principles and teachings of the Word of God. For a quick example, I can tell you that if somebody says the best way for you to deal with depression is to go get drunk, that ain't going to work, because the Word of God says don't have nothing to do with that. And I use that because we all understand that's not going to take care of that problem. We go to God's Word and see if it's sound advice from the wise counselor. But we need to seek wise counsel. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. We use these verses for a lot of things, and I'm not sure we always think of this particular situation when we're reading these verses. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't sometimes our griefs and sorrows weary us and weigh us down? Our illnesses and ailments, our injuries, our pains, our sufferings, don't they weigh us down? Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We need to take time to talk to Jesus. Open up our hearts to Him. Tell Him what's going on in your life. And open up His Word and allow Him to talk to you through it. There is no heartache that He cannot mend, no problem He cannot solve. He is our wonderful, glorious counselor and advisor. And He has provided for us in His Word a plan that will enable us to be a part of His family, to enjoy the blessings that come from belonging to Him and a relationship with God. And all we have to do is follow it, and eternal life can be ours. Jesus provides a way for us to deal with all aspects of our life. I think one of the things we don't like to consider in regards to that is a lot of what Jesus asked of us is to turn loose, let go. And wait. Ultimately, the message of God through the Word is not just now. Just be patient and serve me right now to the best of your ability. Be one of my children and deal with these things as best you can, leaning on me, seeking guidance and instruction from me through my Word. And when it's all over with, if you will endure, your place of rest, your reward, is wait. One of the phrases we have seen multiple times in the book of Revelation in our studies on Wednesday evening. By the way, we'll be in chapter 3 this Wednesday evening. He who overcomes. He who overcomes. Another phrase we have seen regularly in our Bible studies is patient endurance. Steadfastness. Trust that God has us while we walk through this life. And whatever comes upon us, He will see us through it. And then go talk to Him about it. I think one of the things about the example of Job that we sometimes miss is in everything that Job did. I mean, yeah, he fussed at his friends because they were knuckleheads. But in everything that Job did, he talked to God. He talked to God. David talked to God. Talk to God. Let Jesus be your counselor. He will see you through. If you look this morning and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, you're not a part of His family, you're missing out. You're walking through this world alone. You might have family that will help you in physical ways, but ultimately, you're walking alone. Why not give your life to the Lord and walk with Him? Confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of mankind through His death upon the cross of Calvary. Turn from following yourself and the world. Turn to God. Be buried in baptism to have your sins washed away and be added to the family of God. Being born again of the water and the Spirit. Be born a child of God. You've taken those steps and you look and find you've strayed. You've not been keeping Jesus in your heart. Been relying on yourself or relying upon the world. Turn back to Christ. Confess your wrongs before God and ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will. In fact, John tells us He'll wipe them out as if they've never been, almost. We need to understand that relationship we can have with Christ. And if we can help you with that relationship, time and opportunity is yours. Why not come while we stand and sing for encouragement?